before Krishna came to his house, and he was very, very hungry. And when his wife saw Krishna, she was in so much ecstatic love that Krishna, imagine, Krishna, you're a devotee of Krishna, and Krishna comes to your house, this is the perfection of everything, you want to cook him unlimited preparations and serve him so nicely and please him. But Krishna was so hungry, he wanted something to eat right now. So all that was there were bananas. And Vidura's wife, in her ecstasy, was peeling the bananas and offering Krishna the peels and throwing away the bananas. And Krishna was taking the banana peels and eating them. Because she was offering them with ecstatic love. And he could digest anything, obviously. But it says, we'll see in the 11th chapter, he's digesting the universe, practically speaking, in his galarups, his universal form. All the soldiers are entering into his mouth. So what is the difficulty of digesting banana peels? There's no problem for Krishna. But they tasted very good to him. Why? Because they were offered with devotion. So this is the key ingredient. Prabhupada's purport is so wonderful. Here, I'll just read a little of it. No one can be barred from Krishna consciousness because it is so easy and universal. Who is such a fool that he doesn't want to be Krishna conscious by this simple method and thus attain the highest perfection of life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge? Krishna wants only loving service and nothing more. Krishna accepts even a little flower from his pure devotee. He does not want any kind of offering from a non-devotee. He is not in need of anything from anyone because he is self-sufficient. And yet, he accepts the offering of his devotee in an exchange of love and affection. To develop Krishna consciousness is the highest perfection of life. Bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse in order to declare more emphatically that bhakti, or devotional service, is the only means to approach Krishna. No other condition, such as becoming a Brahmin, a learned scholar, a very rich man, or a great philosopher, can induce Krishna to accept this offering. Without the basic principle of bhakti, nothing can induce the Lord to agree to accept anything from anyone. Bhakti is never causal. Krishna, it is independent. And this bhakti is so powerful that it gives Krishna an appetite. So, the acharyas have made some interesting comments on this verse. One is that bhakti paritam, Prabhupada translates it here as offered in devotion, but it also means it is brought with devotion. So if one doesn't have devotion all day long, and then goes on the altar with some food cooked and then offers it to Krishna with great devotion at that time, Krishna will not accept it. What should happen is, ideally, and this is why our farm communities are so wonderful, because we can live an ideal life in which the food is planted, the seeds are planted with devotion. And then the plants grow with devotion. And then the fruit or vegetables are picked with devotion. Then they are carried to the kitchen with devotion, knowing all the time that this is for Krishna, for his pleasure. Then they are cooked with devotion. And then brought, the plate assembled with devotion, very nicely, not too much on the plate. Prabhupada once said, because the devotees would tend to give him plate of prasadam that was piled this high. Why? Ma prasadam! Yes! So Prabhupada said, when there's so much on my plate, I lose my appetite. Oh, very good! That means we'll even have more ma prasadam! That is not bhakti. So everything placed tastefully, the prasadam aromatic and beautiful, the colors. Not all the same color even, everything. No, everything very nicely done, all fresh, the best ingredients. And then, oh Krishna, your devotees have made this for you. Please accept it. One time, in the early days of the movement, with the Holy Spirit, we started understanding that there were so many elaborate rituals. At first, when Prabhupada said that if I told you all the rules and regulations of deity worship, you would faint. But then, gradually, he introduced the proper standard. And then when the devotees understood that there were different mantras and mudras and different ways to offer the food, very complicated things, some of the devotees asked Prabhupada for the proper mantras to put the deity to rest. And Prabhupada wrote back and said, in English, my dear Krishna, it is now time for you to take rest. Please take rest now. And I'm sure those devotees who wanted some elaborate rituals were very disappointed when there's a Sanskrit mantra and you're supposed to go like this. And why the Prabhupada is giving us a lower standard or something, but actually that standard is the highest standard. With a heartfelt request to Krishna, oh Krishna, you must be tired now, you come and take rest. This is actually the highest standard. We don't neglect all the rules and regulations, but the simple expression of bhakti induces Krishna to take rest. The simple expression of bhakti, affection for Krishna, putting Krishna's pleasure in the center of our life, induces Krishna's appetite to increase and increase and increase.
So there are so many wonderful stories like this.
So, as Prabhupada explained, bhakti is mentioned twice in this verse, bhakti paritam and bhakti prayatati. When offers with devotion, then Krishna accepts it. Nami, I take this with great relish. So this this is pure devotional service. Now that standard, when we hear about it or speak about it, it is so pleasing to the heart, and we tend to think, yes, I will be like this. But it is not easy just to become that standard of a pure devotee, because one has to be completely surrendered to Krishna's pleasure. One has to surrender completely that, yes, Krishna, I am acting for your pleasure, and whatever you want, I am doing. And then the act comes after the surrender. So, because that is actually a very high standard, Krishna gives another alternative. And we've spoken about this many times in this class, and we'll speak about it one more time, or maybe even two more times. A different standard where the surrender comes after one works. It is not as high. This is Nishkam Karma Yoga. Yat kurosi rasnasi yat johosi tadasiya tat yat tadasyasi kamteya tat kurusva manaparam. Whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever you're already doing, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. What you like to do, you do it for me, and do as an offering to me, your work. So this, and the, therefore, if your work is offered to me, the fruit is offered to me. That is Nishkam Karma Yoga. Lower than that is Sakam Karma Yoga, where you do what you want and keep the fruit and give Krishna something. This is much, much higher. And this leads to great transcendental knowledge, bhakti. Will lead to bhakti. So this is a Karma Ila Dagarate Mahapalesha Dagarate. What you like to do, you do for me. So devotees sometimes the devotees, they're preaching to life members, etc. And the basic preaching of this to life members and congregational members is what? What level should they preach on, basically, generally? Karma Kanda, Sakam Karma Yoga, Nishkam Karma Yoga, or Pure Bhakti. What is the basic preaching level?
Sakam Karma Yoga.
Yes. Any other ideas?
Depending on their level.
What is generally their level? Hopefully. It is coming up in the Sakam platform. We're having Gita Jayanti, distribute Gita, you donate some of your hard earned wealth like that. So if you're preaching to people to be on the Sakam level, what level should you be on? At least the Nishkam level. Otherwise, if you're also attached to the fruits of your work, then you get them up to the level of Nishkam, and you're still Sakam because they're surrendering. So it behooves the preacher to be advanced at least to the Nishkam platform. So if one works in the way that's suggested here, yat kadosti rajnasi, yat yuhosti rajasya, even if this is Krishna's mercy, yes, if we can offer Krishna just a tulsi leaf with some water, with devotion, he's fully satisfied. And he completely protects and takes care of the devotee. But even if we're not on that level, if we just do what we like to do for Krishna in a detached fashion, here's the result of that in the next verse, in 28. In this way, you will be free from the bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me, and that's the essence of performing this Nishkam Karma Yoga. Simply detachment is not sufficient. But one should be thinking, I am doing this for Krishna. I am doing this work for Krishna's pleasure. And that focusing of the consciousness on Krishna is so purifying and powerful. So with your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, you will be liberated and come to me. And the word uses vimukta, not just mukta or mukti, but vimukta, very special mukti. Special liberation, and a special liberation is what? This bhakti. So this Nishkam Karma will bring us to the bhakti level because we should fix our mind on Krishna. And we'll hear about this this principle. We've heard about it in the 8th chapter, Mama Nusmara Yudhyacha. Yes? Tasmat Kaleshu Kaleshu. In all times and circumstances, you should fight Arjuna, but you should fix your mind and remembrance of me. And then later in the 18th chapter, Chaitasya Savakamani, Maya Sanyasi Makura, Buddhi Yoga Mupasita, Masita, Satatam Bhava. That you should fix your mind on me in all circumstances. Never forget me in your dreams. So one will get bhakti if one does that. So is this fact that if that Krishna cares so much for his devotees, is this Krishna's partiality? Because this is also described in the seventh canto, the first chapter of the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, where Yudhisthira was surprised to hear how Krishna killed Sisupal. Well, Narada Muni was explaining this, and it was asked, as this Krishna's partiality, he doesn't like the demons and he likes the devotees, so he's childish, because if he's the father of everyone, therefore he should be equal to everyone. So is Krishna partial? That he's taking so much care of his devotees? So there's a few ways to understand this. So Krishna explains his partiality and his impartiality. He says, Samoham. What does Samoham mean? I am equal. Sarva-bhuteshu. What does that mean? To all Sarva-bhuteshu. To all living entities I am equal. Name dvesho. Dvesho means envy or enmity. Envy. Name dvesho. To no one do I feel envy. Stina priya. Priya means very, very dear. No special affection. But Krishna is saying here clearly, I'm equal to everyone. No one is especially dear to me, and no one is, nor am I inimical to everyone, to anyone. Ye bhajanti. Two means but. So when the word but is used, that means that there's a change of subject. But, ye bhajanti, those who are doing bhajan unto me, who are serving me, mam bhaktya, in devotion, who are doing devotional service unto me and serving me in devotion, maya dhateshu shapyaham, that they are in me, they exist in Krishna, and teshu shapyaham. And I am in them. They are in me, and I am in them. So that means Krishna is external to them, and Krishna is internal for them. He's everywhere for them. If someone worships Krishna with devotion. So this explains Krishna's partiality or impartiality. So if one is not a devotee, Krishna is equal to them. We've spoken about this before. As the Super Soul is Lord Paramatma, Samoham Sarva-bhuteshu. That if, however you act, you will get a suitable result. An exact result depending upon how you act. Nothing to do with favoritism, nothing to do with envy. Just you get according to what you deserve, according to how you act. But, just wait one moment. Okay? Just I'll finish this first and then we'll, because then it starts increasing Krishna's special dealings with his devotees. But, if you're a devotee, ye bhajanti to mam bhaktya, and this is no longer the super soul, how the super soul deals with someone. This is how Bhagawan deals with someone who is a devotee. Bhagawan only deals with his devotees. The super soul deals with every living entity. But Bhagawan only deals with his devotees. And this is how Bhagawan deals, and it's different from the super soul. Ye vadanti tu mam bhaktya, but for my devotees who worship me with devotion, I am especially in them, and I am outside of them. That means that everything the devotee does is Krishna's mercy. Or everything that happens to the devotee is Krishna's mercy. And the devotee is prompted by Krishna within. He's taking special care of by Krishna. He's always thinking of Krishna within. And in this way, the devotee is always cared for. Krishna is explaining how we should live in this world. Do we want the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotee who is the one who is Bhakta Vatsal? There's a wonderful verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Aishwarya Madhurya Karunye Swarupa Purnata. Bhakti Vatsalya Atma Parjanta Vidanyata. That Krishna has so many qualities, Aishwarya, Madhurya, Karunya, he has so much opulence, he has so much sweetness, he has so much mercy. This is his nature is like that. But his special characteristic, which is most glorious, is that he is Bhakta Vatsa, that he leans towards his devotees and takes special care of his devotees. And he actually even becomes conquered by his devotees. And he cannot even repay his devotees' affection for him. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna's Kaviraj, Goswami Raj explains that Krishna is saying, Bharat Muni, the great analyzer of Natashastra, of drama, the scriptures that deal with drama, when talking about this Shastra, they talk who enjoys more, the lover or the beloved. So Bharat Muni's conclusion is that both the lover and the beloved enjoy equally. So Krishna explains that Bharat Muni, or he who says that the lover and beloved enjoy equally, do not know what the residents of Vrindavan taste. They enjoy so much more than me. Why? Because their pleasure is Krishna's happiness. And Krishna is unlimitedly happy. So therefore, they are unlimitedly more happy. They get more, because they get pleasure out of seeing Krishna happy. That is their pleasure. They are the highest degree bhaktas. So their pleasure, just like you see this, whenever Vajrabihari Prabhu and Mother Ananda's little boy Gopinath was walking everywhere. Everyone is always giving him food. Always giving him some sweet or something like that. And why do all the old people give the little boys sweets like that? Because they get very much pleasure from it, watching him eat. Especially in India, wherever you go, little children are always getting sweets from everyone and everything. And the adults get more pleasure than the children, just watching them eat and smiling and happiness like that. It is natural. So the devotees, because of their bhakti, Krishna takes such special care of them, and the devotees don't want it, as we heard already, yogi kshemam bhamyam. But Krishna wants it. They don't perform the devotional service to get Krishna to take care of them. That's Krishna's pleasure. So what is the loss if we become a pure devotee? What is the loss? And what is the gain if we do something else in this world? What pleasures do we actually want? Just measure them. What do we want? What do we value in this world? We all have our own little, well, big attachments, different things that we value. You, me. We have so many things that we keep locked up inside that it's so hard for us to let go. But what is the value of that thing compared? As Bilamanga Thakur writes in Krishna Karnamrita, Prabhupada explained that he lived for 500 years in Vrindavan. And he writes, the Mukti lady is standing there at my door with folded hands saying, what can I do for you? And he says, what is the value? What do I want to beg from you when every day Krishna is coming himself to supply me milk? What is the value of even liberation? What do we want? So this is actually what we want, not to come to Krishna, but to please Krishna. That will please us. Just like when we dress ourselves very carefully in the mirror, as we dress ourselves, the mirror image looks more and more beautiful. So similarly, when we please Krishna, or actually when the mirror image looks more beautiful, naturally we are more beautiful. So if we please Krishna, we become more and more beautiful. Okay, so hopefully we'll finish this tomorrow. Hopefully we won't finish this tomorrow. We'll just keep talking about it. So this is Krishna's explaining how he's dealing with his devotees here. How he is simply conquered by their bhakti. He doesn't want anything from anyone. Just bhakti. For our good. He is self-satisfied. But for our good. And tomorrow, there's some very special nectar that I'll read.
In the very beginning you said the text in line 26 is the end of Bhagavad Gita. Did I got it wrong?
Maybe. We can also say it's the end of Bhagavad Gita. Obviously not the last verse in Bhagavad Gita, but it brings us to the point of bhakti. This is bhakti. The end is give Krishna leave for the floor. What about the devotion?
I was just having a conversation with the
host yesterday. I was saying that you're saying how it's interesting that the tongue is singular. It's just mentioned that the flower of water, and then he singly says that just goes to the leaf. One leaf will satisfy if you talk about devotion. A whole mountain of leaves won't satisfy if there's no devotion. Just like when Krishna is, there's one town. Who wants to have around Govardhan called Anayor. Anayor means give me more, because when Krishna was being fed all the food during the Govardhan, when Krishna was being fed so much food, it was not satisfying them. So he kept saying, Anayor, Anayor, give me more. But then when one tulsi leaf was given, he was satisfied.
The first that was very funny. I was wondering, is that, like, if you're giving up the results, but you're still attached totally, is that an ishtam moment?
If you're attached to the most subtle forms of results, the prestige, etc. So you say it is, but it's not mature yet. If we want to push you to go higher, we'll say no, it isn't. If we want to encourage you to keep on doing it so you will go higher, we'll say yes, it is. So which would you prefer? When you don't want any results, actually, just doing it because it's your duty, then it's mishkanpa.
Sometimes he ignores also his devotees.
But that's his special care. Because he wants to see how they will react. When they say, oh, you're ignoring me? Then
I will
ignore you, I'm leaving. Then Krishna said, oh, now I understand what kind of devotee you are. That he's ignoring is like the parents ignoring of a child. It's not really ignoring, he's keeping a watchful eye to see how the child is doing. A loving and affectionate eye is watching.
You mentioned
Super Soul is different from Krishna.
What is
Super Soul?
Yeah, what is
Super Soul? Super Soul is a part of 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 Krishna. And Krishna's expansion is Lord Balaram. From Lord Balaram comes Shankarshan. And Shankarshan, Chakravyuha, before Aniruddha, Chakravyuha, and Vasudeva. And then further expansion. From that Shankarshan comes Karanadakshaya Vishnu. And then from that Karanadakshaya Vishnu comes Gauradakshaya Vishnu. From that Gauradakshaya Vishnu comes Giridakshaya Vishnu. And that Giridakshaya Vishnu is the Super Soul. So there's no difference in one sense. They're all equally powerful. But yet there is a difference. Krishna has special qualities that no one else has. Even the Narayan expansion. And the specific quality of the Super Soul is that out of his kindness, he travels with everyone in the heart, no matter where they are, and he's just waiting for us to turn to him. And if we turn to him with devotion, and we want Krishna to be there, then Krishna himself will come. So there's no difference between the Super Soul and Krishna. But Krishna's business is not being in everyone's heart, because he's the boss. So why should the boss do that kind of work? His business is to stay in Vrindavan for us. He doesn't have to go to Katalaloka or anything. But when our hearts become like Vrindavan, then Krishna will come there. Vrindavanam Pityaja Padam Ekam when Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And a conditioned soul never goes to Vrindavan, so they don't leave.
Is it good practice for devotees like to beg their food?
That's just a practical question. In most places in the world, if you beg your food, everyone hates you. In Vrindavan, if you walk around saying, Marukari, Marukari, you'll get that rich, fuzzy, roti, hot sabji. We're always practical servants.
Could you please give a practical example of some karma yoga so I can understand how someone is attached to the results of his work? Can he still give some Krishna?
So much! Didn't you have a speech in India? Make nice members? You're missing half your life is wasted. Anyway, stay for a while out there. Highest businessmen, they'll make 100 crores and they'll give 1 lakh. I once had this one when I was in Hong Kong many years ago. I must have told you the story. Mr. Vaswani, he was, Prabhupada was coming, and this man was a jewel merchant. And Prabhupada was coming, so we asked him for a donation. So he gave 100 or maybe even 200 Hong Kong dollars. Which, how much is that? 40 US dollars less. Say 40 US dollars, huh? Yeah, it's 200 he gave. So anyway, he gave it very nicely actually. And then the 200 Hong Kong dollars. And then, it ended up we needed a little more money. So I went back to him and asked him if he could give a little more money. So he said no, he couldn't afford it. And then within 2 weeks, some thieves went into his house, took his son, put a knife in his throat, and said, open the safe. And they took $18 million worth of jewels. So I didn't go back to him and said, but I was thinking it. But I went back and commiserated with him and felt sorry for him. So that's .com karma yoga. And he's giving something. But he's so attached to the fruit of his word, so attached. Even though it can be taken in 1 second, half a second.
Okay. So what makes the point that the basic truth is contained beyond the religion? But however, is that a clear change of, you know, just like Krishna says, I am equal to everyone, but...
If you know the basic truth of religion, you will see it in every religion. If you don't know what the actual religion is, you won't see it. Unless you're very, very pious, then you'll see it. If you're very sincere and pious. Of course, what is the use of a religion without teaching us to serve Krishna, to serve God? That is the meaning of religion.
I don't know, you're telling me.
If he's not a devotee, why is he offering food to Krishna?
So, how can
you
do
Nishkam Karma
Yoga?
No, but sometimes we say that Nishkam Karma Yoga isn't devotion. But sometimes we say it is devotion. The reason why we say it's not devotion is because it's not pure bhakti. But the reason why we say it is devotion is that it leads to devotion. Aspiring devotion. So
when we offer food, we don't offer it directly to Krishna. We offer it by the mercy of our spiritual master. So that allows an aspiring devotee who doesn't yet have devotion to still be a devotee and have his spoon. Huh? All? That would be a great advancement for me. But I don't think it's true about you. Nishkam Kama Yoga means the mode of goodness also. And that's one is in the mode of goodness. From passion comes attachment. So many desires, fruit of desires. This will be explained in chapter 14. So Nishkam Kama Yoga. Yeah, so that means mode of goodness. He's attached to his work.
That's
his duty. Like that.
Like that.
She can be at the table. But we can't. Of course, he's a devotee. But see, we also. What was Arjuna practicing? And fighting. What was his fighting? Nishkam Kama Yoga, Bhakti, Sakam Kama Yoga, Kama Kanda.
Krishna has him to fight.
Yes, but it's the same fighting. But because Krishna wanted him to fight, it was Bhakti. But Krishna gave reasons on each of those levels in the Bhagavad Gita. It says, do thou fighting for the sake of fighting. That's Nishkam Kama. But he also says, if you fight, you will go to heaven. You will gain the heavenly kingdom, and lose, you will go to the heavenly kingdom, and if you win, you will gain. Arjuna ultimately fought because Krishna wanted him to fight, so it's bhakti. The same activity of fighting, but it's the motivation that makes it on one level or another. Then it's karma kanda practically, if you want it. But that wasn't why Arjuna fought. To go to heaven. Apitu Yatta Darshanam. Svarga Prabhaga Narakeshu Apitu Yatta Darshanam. But Narayana Nakutatsana Vibhiti. That out of so many Muktanam Apisidanam. No, that's not it. Narayana Paraksave Vibhiti. Svarga Prabhaga. So this is actually very rare that someone is such an exalted devotee. But just understand, this what I'm telling you is so dangerous in one sense, because if we go preaching, we're not devotees, and you're just distributing books because you want to do it, and this isn't devotion, then first of all you'll be kicked out of the temple, and then I'll be kicked out of the temple after. See, we don't, this is, one has to give the medicine according to what people's diseases. So Prabhupada so many times encouraged people to become number one book distributor, number one this, number one, set up this transcendental competitions. Do you think Prabhupada wanted the devotees to think, I'm the best of all book distributors, I'm the number one book distributor? No, he was encouraging them to serve Krishna with full enthusiasm. Do you understand what I mean? So we have to be careful how we explain this knowledge to people, but this is the actual. The best thing is to just serve for the pleasure of Krishna and Prabhupada. And if we can't do that, at least we should serve and be detached for the results, hoping with our mind focused on them to get the mercy of Prabhupada. And if we can't do that, yes, we can give up. In other words, there are different degrees. But if you tell someone who has a lower degree too much about the higher degree in such a way that it discourages them, we're not helping them. So therefore Krishna says, don't disrupt the minds of the ignorant who are attached to the fruit of their work. Rather, you should encourage them by your example to work in devotion. By your example of working in devotion, detachment and devotion, you will encourage them. Yeah? So it's a little tricky.
So please, that's what there's a saying, even a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Hare Krishna. That is the whole part of the